The game is in the books, and the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks Radio postgame show is on the air on the Blackhawks Radio Network.
Welcome in to the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks Radio postgame show. I'm your host, Charlie Romeliotis. What a game that just wrapped up in Vancouver. The Blackhawks take down the Canucks 5-2 for their first win on the road trip after starting off 0-2-1. That's exactly how you start off the second half of this six gamer. Let's head back over to Rogers Arena and bring in Colin Frazier. Colin, I poked fun at you a little bit in the pregame show. I said we were winless with you in the broadcast booth, but we snapped that streak. You are good to go. You can stay.
Well, thank you for giving me that approval, but I would be lying if I said that thought crossed my mind as we were heading into the third period. If we lose this game, I'm never coming back. I'm not welcome back, but great game, exciting game, really fun game.
I mean, go figure. There were zero goals in the first 40 minutes of action, and there was a lot of end-to-end action. It was great pace in those first 40, and then seven combined goals in the third period, albeit one of them was an empty netter. Five for Chicago. I can't remember the last time they scored five goals in a period, let alone did so in a third period. I mean, just a fantastic effort in the third period by the Blackhawks to make that push.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a good effort the entire game. It just wasn't going in the net. They generated offense. They generated chances. Right from the first shift, I thought they had a good, complete game. I mean, of course, there's going to be momentum shifts, and Vancouver took some of that momentum in the second period. Plus, they had the two power plays in the second period. But Spencer Knight did his job and did it very, very well. And then you come out in the third. If you're anytime you're tied or leading on the road heading into the third period, I think you'd take it. So they kicked it up a notch in the third period when they needed to. And then Tyler Bertuzzi came up big in tight in and around the net like he does.
How fitting was it for Tyler Bertuzzi to score the hat trick given what happened in the last meeting in October at the United Center, where he thinks he scores the go-ahead goal with 5 minutes left in the third period? The Blackhawks challenge, Vancouver wins it because it weirdly was not, even though it kind of looked like it shouldn't have been. And Bertuzzi ends up righting the wrong tonight. And got a little hairy, too, because I thought they might challenge the first goal that Tyler scored in that first or in that third period, where the puck goes off his skate, but it looked like he was just directing it. He wasn't kicking it in, but very fitting for Bertuzzi to be the one that was the star in getting his hat trick.
Yeah, I agree. You go back to that goal at the United Center. I personally was scouting the game, and I was listening to John, and it was you, Charlie, probably.
It was me, actually.
Yeah,
good memory.
Yeah, I do. I probably texted you. Don't text and drive.
Oh, yeah.
But he did. So he scores that goal, and we all know the story. And so it was very fitting tonight to get one. It was so similar. Not that it was similar in the sense it was under his pad, but from a similar spot, and it's really Tyler Bertuzzi's office. It's amazing to me how well he does that, and I don't know why I never did that. And then now I'm going to start teaching everybody, like even the second goal, Charlie, where he goes down on one knee, he chokes up on his stick, and the second one hit his stick. But if it doesn't hit his stick, it's hitting his knee or it's hitting his foot, and it's going in the net. It was the exact, he was standing literally the exact same spot, right off the crease, right to Lankinen's left on the back door. So the one off the foot, too, he does such a good job of not kicking it. He just opened up kind of the toe of his skate so it was longer, like, so, you know, as if to say, hey, I hope this hits me and goes in the net. He's not kicking it at the net. He's deflecting it in. It's a smart heads-up play.
You mentioned the move where he just gets down on one knee and he's basically serving like a backboard where he chokes up on the stick. I remember last year we were asking Tyler about that in the media, like, you know, where did you learn that? Have you practiced it or like whatever? And he was almost getting bothered that we were asking about him because he's like, he's like, stop asking me because I don't want other teams to start scouting this that I do it. Because it's like, it's such a great, I mean, he's perfected it. I haven't seen many players in the NHL really do it, let alone perfect it the way that he has.
Well, it's funny you say that because I'm with you. I don't see a lot of players do it. And it's just, he's having success with it too. It's not like he's doing that. Like, there's been close calls too. And you're watching a game where he's kind of he sneaks and slides kind of back door, and he finds that little lane and that little hole, and they might not even know he's there. And then he all of a sudden he's choking up on his blade and he's down on one knee. And it amazes me that more players don't do that. It really does. And especially, and maybe tonight when they're all watching the highlights and they see the two goals so similar that, I don't know, maybe more guys start doing it. But, you know, he's got a knack for getting inside and for kind of, it sounds crazy, but I call it like greasing around, slipping around. Like, he's hard to check. He's not that he has the skill that Bedard has where he's like, you know, slipping pucks and like kind of dancing in and out, but he's got a different kind of skill where he can find those holes, find those areas. And then he has really good hands around the net to be able to touch those in.
How about the performance of Spencer Knight? I mean, he faces 43 shots in a row, and it took 43 shots for Vancouver to finally crack him. Ends up finishing with 43 saves on 45 shots for a save percentage of .956. I mean, this guy was excellent. I know he didn't like his Winnipeg game. Edmonton, you know, they scored both of their goals on the power play and then 3-on-3 overtime, so there's really nothing he could do there. But he's been so good all season long. Man, I wish he would have gotten that shutout and feel like he was so well-deserved. But another terrific performance by Spencer.
He's been good right from the start of the season, right from the first game. He's given the Blackhawks a chance to win every night. And of course, you know, he probably would want that Winnipeg game back. But you can't be lights out every single night.
Right.
And so maybe that's his one. That's the one we'll give him. But every other game, he's given the Blackhawks a chance to win. And particularly good in the second period when the Canucks had the pressure, had the momentum, had the zone time, and he was able to shut the door and keep that 0-0 heading into the third. And what was most impressive to me was the rebound control and how many pucks that he was able to smother up. And he didn't leave anything laying around out front, you know, because that's usually those second and third chances that kill you. And he did such a good job of corralling the puck and not giving up those second and third chances. And then credit the Hawks D-men for, I remember one player in particular when Myers kind of dragged it to the middle and he took a big slap shot. And they did a great job of boxing out so Spencer could see the puck. There wasn't a lot where he was kind of looking around and didn't see the puck. He saw most everything. So you got to credit the Hawks D-men too. Just because they're getting shots on net doesn't mean they're not doing their job. And they did a great job of battling and boxing out and allowing Spencer to see the pucks.
And Spencer channeling his offensive side, too, by picking up a primary on the Connor Bedard empty net goal. We know how well Spencer Knight plays the puck. And, boy, it almost looked like he was trying to go for the empty netter. And then it was like, oh, Connor Bedard just lands right in front of him. And Spencer gets an apple, too.
Yeah, he does. You know, even going back before that, he does a good job of, like, stopping rims or wraparounds. And he's very comfortable playing the puck. When you have a goalie that can play the puck, it's like having a third defenseman out there. And for breakouts and for calming things down and for using outlets, it's hard for other teams to get a forecheck on. And so even on that primary assist, he had the puck and he didn't just chuck that puck like he didn't know what he was doing. He held on to it for an extra second trying to make his decision. What do I want to do with this? Do I want to put it up the boards? And then he saw Bedard out there and he kind of put this floating wrister so it was kind of over everyone's head. So knowing, you know, a safe play, like if Connor doesn't get that's okay, but it is going to get out of the zone and I'm not going to turn this one over. And Connor actually makes a good play on the battle on Hughes too, where he kind of spun off him. He kind of whacked the puck and spun away from Hughes, and he got a fortunate kind of bounce, or when he did whack the puck, it went into the Canucks zone. And he had to hustle to get it because Hughes was kind of nipping at his butt. But, you know, I'm glad Connor got that goal, too, because we haven't talked about him a lot tonight. But he had 13 shots at the net. So 5 on net, 4 blocked and 4 missed. I thought he had a fantastic game, kind of a rebound game, if you will, from the playing in Vancouver. With his history in Vancouver isn't the best, so I'm glad, happy for him that he was able to get that goal and add an assist as well.
I'm going to follow up on Connor in just one sec, but I want to say we got the Olympics coming up in February, and I think the rosters are due sometime in December, whether it's early December or mid-December, whatever. I think Spencer Knight is playing his way into the conversation for Team USA. I know Jake Oettinger and Connor Hellebuck are probably going to be the 1-2, and it just felt like Jeremy Swayman was going to just naturally be pegged as the 3. But boy, Spencer Knight, the way he's been performing this season, Swayman had a tough year last year. He hasn't gotten off to a great start this year. I think Spencer should be on the radar for Team USA to be that third goalie. Do you agree?
Yeah, he's really turning some heads, and it's a lot of it's consistency. So we knew Spencer Knight was a good goalie, but now that he's showing it as a number one goalie and he's doing it every single night or more nights than not, it's one thing to play a good game, backing up Bobrovsky in Florida or last year they more split the net, but this year it's his net. He's taken the net, it's his net, and he's proven himself time and time again in the early parts of the season here. So, that'd be great for him. Another, feather in the cap type thing for a player. Of course, everybody, certainly all the superstars want to play in the Olympics. It's honorable to play for your country. And what more can you ask for from Spencer Knight?
You mentioned Connor Bedard back in his hometown. In the pregame show, I aired a clip that was about a minute long. It was a 22-minute interview that he did last year in November. I think it was November 16th. It was on Hockey Night in Canada. Connor Bedard was the after hours guest with Scott Oak. And Connor was so hard on himself last year. He said, "I feel responsible for our struggles. It's been hard mentally. I'm not even close to where I want to be as an individual." I mean, what difference a year makes where he comes in. He now has a 6-game point streak. He was on pace coming into this game for 100 plus points. Feels like that's going to go up just an uptick with another multi-point game. I mean, just an incredible growth for Connor and kind of come full circle. Nice to see him finally get one against Vancouver, win in Vancouver, but also he's just playing lights out hockey and his confidence seems to be in a totally different place now than when he was a year ago around this time.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is maturity. So he's not, he's still really young, but it's crazy that it's his third season. But just the way he carries himself to me, he carries himself in his interviews and he carries himself off the ice and the way he speaks to the media and the like his presence is so much stronger now to me, and it's carrying over on the ice. And he must have felt like he had the weight of the Blackhawks land and fans and the struggles on his shoulders. It's a lot to ask for a kid to come into an organization and at the start of a rebuild, really, to take them to the promised land. It's right. Like a big ask, but now too he has support, and let's not undervalue the Varekovsky deal too and how good he's been for Connor Bedard, where not that he's Nathan MacKinnon or a superstar, but he's a really good player and he can make plays and he has skill and they can play off each other and they can, they seem to have some chemistry going together, and they've had a lot of success here over the last 6 or 7 games. So, one thing else, Connor, I didn't say it on air, but as I'm watching the game, so for me, he's making a lot smarter plays. And what I mean by that, we all see the shots and we see the assists and we see the offense, I guess, but there's a couple times where he's at the end of a shift, and I think his first 2 years he would have went for one more. And what I mean by one more is go for one more rush and one more try at the net or one more offensive opportunity at the end of a shift, where if you turn pucks over you now have to go back to your end, and now your shift becomes a minute 10, minute 20. He just dumped the puck in. And then he went and changed. And you just live to fight another day. And it's a smart play. It sounds really goofy maybe, but when you live to fight another day, you take what the other team can give you versus trying to force things and create things on your own. And I think with maturity and with Jeff Blashill as a coach, I think it's been a huge, huge part of his game where he can keep his shift lengths down to lower than normal. He's 56 seconds today, but instead of getting up over that 1 minute mark where you're tired, it's hard to create offense when you're tired. So tip your cap to him. He's been great right from day one, and especially great the last on this 6-game point streak he's on.
That's such a great point, because it's so normal for him to just log a shift that's like a minute and 30, because he's probably done it at Regina and at every level that exactly. He's been on, right? And so it's almost like it's hard to break out of that mentality that in the NHL, it's like, no, I can log 20 more seconds on this shift, but it's almost like you're putting your team, your next teammate in a tough spot, you know, if that ends up going the other way and now they're starting in the defensive zone and it's just like this big trickle down effect. So, a great point by you. And obviously you would understand that too, knowing that, hey, just, you know, keep your shift short and put your teammate in the next position to, you know, in a better position than you found him.
Well, that's the best way to put it, Charlie, is to, leave the shift for your teammate how you'd want to go out there. It's exactly how it is. And now that's not taking away from his creativity. You know, when you're fresh and it's time to go, then yeah, go, give her. Go with speed, go with skill, make your plays, attack one-on-one, absolutely. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm just saying now when it's one-on-four and you've been out there for 45 seconds, you just need to get it deep and change and regroup and get your energy, and it's just puck management and decisions. And you know, those top players, they want to be the best and they always want to, you know, create. But that's the part of the learning curve of playing the right way. And all the top teams would play the right way, and they would do those things. So I think it's such an added, it's very nice to see and to add that to his game of those smart decisions. I think have a lot to do with why he's had so much success on top of it, you know, on the offensive side instead of chasing things on the defensive side.
All right, last one for you. When you were in with the Blackhawks in those early years, did you go on one of those circus trips that ended up being like 2+ weeks?
Yes, I did, yes.
Okay, so it feels like the Hawks are... It's some sort of circus type trip where they've been on the road for 12 days and 6 games. I mean, what kind of bonding experience was that like for you guys to just get away from home for a couple weeks? I'm sure at that time it felt really fun to be on the road with the guys because it was a fun team. You guys had Stanley Cup aspirations or whatever. But like how important is that off ice team bonding that the guys are going through right now?
I think it's absolutely. Imperative. It's very important. You have to have a team that wants to play for each other and want to win for each other and lay it on the line for each other. And if you don't have that, I think you're dead in the water. And I've been fortunate to play on good teams and ride coattails with a lot of good players and in Chicago and in LA. And it was the camaraderie and the friendships and the genuine team atmosphere was so good, and that is a huge reason why we were able to win. And it's I feel like it's like my first year at the Blackhawks was 2008, so the 2008-2009 season, the 2007-2008 season is when it started to turn. So when the you know, back half of the year, they were making a playoff push. They didn't make the playoffs that year, but the building was full again. The United Center was the madhouse again, and it was really starting to turn. It was all the young kids. It was, you know, you're obviously your Kane and your Taves, but it was Duncan Keith and Seabrook and all the legends that we all know. But that's what it is now. So it's Nazar and it's Bedard and whatever. It's Renzel. It's Knight. It's all these guys. And so getting on the road, I have to assume that they're all hanging out together. They're all going to dinner together. They're all laughing together. They're all playing pranks on each other. And it's a lot easier to do that when you win. So, this game today, I mean, you win that 5-2, I'm sure they're hooting and hollering and having a great time in the dressing room and then on the bus and then on the plane. And to do that for, I think it's 11 days. Is it an 11-day trip?
Yeah, I think it's 11 right? Or 12. It might be like 12 days, 11 nights.
Yeah, so, I mean, you do that for 11 or 12 days and it really creates a fun atmosphere and you know, friendships, bonding, all those cliches, but they're true. So, yeah, I mean, they got the first win. They could have won other games, could have won in Edmonton. They're in every game. It's just that, you know, learning curve of the young team of getting over that hump and, you know, gutting those games out like they did tonight.
Did Sharpie or Burrish ever get you with the prankster? I know that those were the two.
Yeah, they were pretty good. You know, the other one was Dustin Byfuglien, but Sharpie and Burr would do it at the hotel where they were they'd fill out the breakfast card on the door and put it on Kane and Dave's door, and then they would have a knock at the door at whatever time with a whole smorgasbord of food, and they'd have no idea what was going on. And Dustin Byfuglien was great in the locker room where he'd put, you know, just goofy things like, you know, putting a cup of water under a guy's helmet. So when he goes to put his helmet on to go out for practice, it spills all over him. And yeah, we had a lot of fun. We were a bunch of just young kids. We, you know, we all grew up together in Rockford too. Like Troy Brower and Buff was in Rockford. Dave Boland, like all these, all the names we know. It's literally the same thing over. And it's a different game now in the sense they don't spend as much time in the minor leagues as they did. But it's the same concept. It's the same thing. You know, Oliver Moore is down there. Lardis is down there. Nazar spent time down there. It's you know, they become your friends. And even though it's only a few weeks into the season, they all know each other very, very well anyway.
Were you part of the group that started the Mario Kart in the playoffs? Was that?
Oh, yeah. You get on YouTube tonight, Charlie, and find I hosted this Blackhawks TV.
Oh, Blackhawks TV.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And so all the guys are playing Mario Kart, and I'm walking around interviewing them all. So these games became, like, really heated. Like, we had an NHL TV and an AHL TV, and you got to get called up and sent down and all the things. And it was like, oh, it was wild. So we'd get the big rooms. That was in the playoffs, yeah, of the Stanley Cup run in 2010. Yeah,
hey, listen, Colin, I'm loyal, so I remember that era because I was a fan during that time. And I actually remember as soon as you said that, I remember Kaner had the mullet. He had the three stripes going on. I think Jalmerson was what I heard. He was like one of the best ones.
He was.
So I'm recalling this video in real time, and I totally forgot you were the host of those. That is hilarious.
Host. Yeah, we had a lot of fun. I was that was the start of my media career right there.
That's where it started.
Interviewing the guys about Mario Kart as they play in the playoffs. Yeah, and that, I honestly feel, I don't know this factually, but I feel like we started something because I feel like all the teams do that now. But we were the ones, we only had one Wii, and then they had to go out and buy a second one so we could get two games going. It was crazy. It was good times.
Man.
Yeah, so I feel like it's history's, you know, I'm a little early on it. Don't get me wrong. That's when we were winning Stanley Cups. But, like, the idea is coming back, right? Like, we can see that. It's all the young kids. I don't want to get too excited too soon. Don't get me wrong. But the point of the story is, you know, and when Kyle Davidson started this rebuild, it's a lot similar to what they've already done and sustainability and being good for years to come. And it's very nice they got the win tonight, and it's very nice to win or lose. The Hawks are exciting to watch these days.
Oh, man, Colin, it's been great to have you on the show for the last three of the last four games. I feel like I could talk hockey
all
with you
long.
All night long, but unfortunately it is reaching midnight. No, we're past midnight here in Chicago.
No one's even listening to us anymore. Hey, they've all gone to bed.
Blackhawks post-game show after dark with Colin and Charlie. Oh man, you did a great job filling in for John. Hopefully we can do this again down the road at some point together, but safe travels wherever your scouting destination is this weekend, and we'll continue to chat down the road.
I'm headed back east, back to Victoria tomorrow, and I end up going to Michigan and then off to Toronto on Sunday, and then I'm home on Monday. I need a break.
So. All right, yeah. You've had a long last couple weeks. Go recharge. Great stuff, Colin.
Okay, thanks, Charlie.
All right, that is Colin Frazier. Did an excellent job on three of these four games on the road trip. I will be flying to Calgary tomorrow so Colin can do his real job and start and continue scouting some more talent for the Blackhawks as for the upcoming draft. So awesome job by Colin. We have some post-game sound that has rolled in. Spencer Knight and Tyler Bertuzzi both spoke to the media. We'll hear what they had to say on the other side of the break when the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show rolls on after this on 720 WGN.
Brian Donato right back into the Canuck zone, right wing side. Donato, the right wing corner to Crevier, right point. Put it in front. Bertuzzi going for three. She just scores! Hat trick for Tyler Bertuzzi! You could see the look on his face the whole time when that puck came free. He knew that he had a shot at it. He corralled the puck in the left wing circle, turned, looked at the net, and rifled her home. It's a hat trick for Bertuzzi and a 4-0 Hawk lead.
Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Flight is the next generation of light beer. That was one of three goals by Tyler Bertuzzi, his hat trick goal for Bertuzzi. All three of them came in the third period. What a third period by Chicago as a whole. All five of their goals coming in the final frame. Let's get to Tyler Bertuzzi and hear what he had to say after recording the first hat trick of the season.
That second period was pretty lopsided. How did you change things so quickly in the third like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first two periods were kind of back and forth. You know, both goalies played good. Nighty kept us in it like he always does and gave us a chance in the third to come out and you know, put our foot down and put some in the net.
What did you guys talk about the second intermission?
Just stick with it. You know, we were getting our chances. We thought it was a pretty even game back and forth. Switched just a few things up and you know, got rewarded for it.
When Knight's playing like that and you don't have any goals for him, do you feel that urgency like we got to get a couple for him?
Well, yeah, that's how you win the game, scoring. But we know he's gonna you know, he's gonna keep us in it till the very end. You know, it's our job as forwards and D to you know, to get some in the net, give us a chance to win.
What did you see on your three goals?
Two were tap-ins. Third one, also kind of a tap-in.
Third one, that was like long range for you.
Yeah, I know.
It was like a point shot. You're just sitting up there. I mean, the guys know you're going to be there, right? Whether it's Bedard or Grizzly or anyone else, they know you're just going to be standing there, right?
Yeah, I mean, definitely Betsy, he knows where I am, and I think the D kind of know too. And we talked about it in the second intermission. When it gets rimmed around, you know, you can just sling it on net, and Grizzy made a great play, head up. You know, he was in front too, screening, and it was just a good play.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Tyler Bertuzzi. Yeah, the third one was from long range. I would love to see a goal chart of all of Tyler Bertuzzi's career NHL goals, and I bet you like half of them are inside the crease of the goaltender or within a couple feet of the crease. It just seems like he's so good in that area, specifically on the power play, and it was great to see him get a hat trick. He is now pushing for the team lead now in goals. He went into this game, I believe, with three goals. Yeah, now he doubled his total. He is up to six, which would have tied him for the team lead if Connor Bedard did not score an empty net goal in this game. But Connor is at seven, and there's a tie between Donato and Bertuzzi for second on the team with six goals. How about Spencer Knight? Unbelievable in this game. 43 saves. Too shy of his career high. I guess his career high is 45, which I looked up when he was in Florida against New Jersey. Let's hear what Spencer had to say after taking down the Vancouver Canucks 5-2.
For you tonight, huh?
Yeah, the guys battled well. I think they did a good job. I think it's got a little chaotic, kind of staying calm. So I thought the defense, the forwards did a really good job at that. And I thought we just stuck with it, right? And it was a good road win.
That second period was pretty lopsided. How good does it feel as a goalie when you can keep your team in a game when it's just a stretch like that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where you kind of go with the flow of the game, right? You see whatever it is, lots of action, little action, lots of O-zone time or D-zone time or none. You kind of just find a way to have an impact on the game and stay in it. So that's what I think I've said it, you know, a few times in the past. Like, that's what I've tried to work on.
Do you get winded at all if there's a bunch of shots against? Or?
I mean, sometimes you get a little tired, but you try to, you know, like kind of, you learn how to find ways to get yourself back to square, you know, or back to baseline, you know, in short periods of time.
Feels like in recent seasons, a period like that would have led to an even worse third period. What is it about this team that they're able to kind of, you know, snap out of it, fight back, and take a win like this?
I think it started, you know, we have a lot of guys from last year. I think a change was going to happen in terms of our approach, and I thought Blash brought a good mentality for us to understand how to stick to a game and not get frustrated and just keep playing. So I thought we did a good job at that.
Conversation like here in the second intermission?
Honestly, I don't know. It was a lot of, I didn't know, Blash was talking about some O-zone, D-zone, neutral zone stuff. It's player stuff. It was good.
All right, that was Blackhawks goaltender Spencer Knight. What a performance by him tonight. 43 saves on 45 shots. He also added a primary assist in the game. That's his fourth career NHL assist. I feel like he's going to be feel like he'll rack up quite a few of those in his NHL career, just the way that he handles the puck. And he stopped 3.44 goals above expected. He went into this game at 7.2, according to Money Puck. So he's now up to 10.6 in the goals saved above expected department. That ranks third among all NHL goaltenders. Logan Thompson is one with 11. And Anaheim's Lucas Dostal is right behind him at 10.9. And then there's Spencer Knight at 10.6. And Connor Hellebuck is right behind him at 10.1. So it's really good company for Spencer Knight. He was excellent as always. For sure there should be a conversation about him potentially making Team USA for the Olympics, especially if he continues this over the next month when the rosters are due sometime in December. I mean, if he's playing this hot and at this young of an age too, I think he could potentially be on Team USA's radar, not just this year, but be a guy that's in the conversation perennially for those international tournaments for Team USA moving forward. We got more to get to here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, including the postgame presser of Jeff Blasio. That's coming up next right here on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. Let's get to tonight's ice time, sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. It was Alex Vlasic leading the way for the Blackhawks on the back end at 21:42. Wyatt Kaiser right behind him at 21:02. But on the forward side, Connor Bedard was at 20 minutes and 32 seconds of ice time. And right behind him, it was Tyler Bertuzzi at 20 minutes and 28 seconds of ice time. So the Bertuzzi and Bedard combo, albeit on separate lines, led the way for the Blackhawks in this game, in addition to Spencer Knight. I thought Connor Bedard, by the way, was excellent. He had 13 shot attempts in this game, 5 of them on goal. A handful of them were quality scoring chances. And then, of course, Bertuzzi finding the back of the net 3 times, all in the third period. Really strong performance all around by the Blackhawks in that third period. Let's hear what the Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill had to say after this 5-2 victory over the Vancouver Canucks.
After a second period like that, what do you tell your team, and what do you get at them when they respond in that way?
No, I just, you know, like, we hadn't played our best, I don't think, at that point in the game. You know, so I think the chances were 9-3 them, so it's obviously a one-sided that way. But at the end of the day, we're making corrections. We're teaching, we're learning, and we're saying it's 0-0. Let's go find a way to win the hockey game. And I don't think he can, you know, overreact necessarily. I don't think it was like a lack of want or care or effort. So then it's about, you know, correcting mistakes and finding a way to go out and do a better job. I thought we were really good in the third. And I thought, you know, we talked about good teams find a way to win this game. You're on the road, it's 0-0. You probably haven't played your best. Go have a great period, and I thought we did.
What did you see from Bertuzzi? I feel like that's kind of a vintage performance right around the net.
I tell you, you know, you look throughout the course of the year, Bird has really competed. He's worked. He's been on pucks. You know, I think he's a guy you appreciate more from ice level than you might from up top. You know, skating doesn't always look great, but man, he wins pucks. He's in. That's kind of who he's always been for me. You know, he's great on that back post. He's really learned over the years how to build a wall in that back post, and you know, people shoot for it and they go in. It's a great way to score. So you know, Bert for me has been very good all season, and he had another good one tonight.
Spencer Knight got a second stake on the plane tonight.
Yeah, you know, Spence played really well. Like you know, I think he's consistently been a real good goalie for us. I think, you know, the one thing we do is we contest a lot of those shots because of we give up chances in those areas, but we do contest a lot of them because of the length of our decor. We're doing a decent job of stopping in the slot, but he's been really good. You know, he's done a good job finding pucks through traffic. He's done a good job of when we aren't playing our best, finding a way to keep us in the game and then gives you a chance to win.
Bedard is playing again today, even on the empty net goal. The outraces, you know, pretty used to get to it.
Yeah. I think you know, Connor, I think, has been consistently game in and game out, committed to winning hockey. He's been he's competed extraordinarily hard. He's done all the kind of winning things. He hasn't been perfect, but man, he's done a lot of good winning hockey habits. And he's been rewarded offensively because of it. And I think we've been rewarded as a team because of it. So, you know, really impressed with kind of the approach he's taken all season long.
Your first successful challenge, was that an easy call?
Was that the first?
I could be wrong.
Yeah, it was actually. Although I think we could argue, whatever. You know, was it an easy call? When I looked at it, it felt like it was going to be an easy call. Like, I had no reservations challenging it, I can tell you that. You know, it's still hard. It's a rule. As much as everybody wants to be black and white, it's not. It's gray. So you just never really know for sure. But it did feel like we were going to win the challenge. That was a big moment, obviously. You know, you win that challenge, now it stays 0-0. It's good. To get goals off the board is a huge thing.
All right, that was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. Wins his first challenge on the year. Glad it went his way. I know the last time the Blackhawks challenged against Vancouver at the United Center did not go their way, and they had to make a big kill, end up losing that game in a shootout. So the wrong was righted, and Tyler Bertuzzi was at the center of it with three goals in this game, scoring a hat trick. Want to empty out some other quick hitting items. I thought it was really important that the Blackhawks had an off day yesterday. I think they came out with some real jump in that first period specifically. I know things got a little dicey in the second. They bent but didn't break. But that third period, the Hawks made a real push, and it felt like they had their legs. And so much needed off day for the Blackhawks, both mentally and physically. Hawks end up scoring the first goal of the game. They now improve to 6-2-1 this season when scoring first. They are 0-3-2 in the five games when they do not score the first goal. So that is clearly a trend to monitor moving forward, as the Blackhawks seem to play much better when they're ahead. I know you can say that for any team, but the Hawks don't have a single win yet this season when they allow the first goal. And then the Canucks went into this game tonight with an 11-0 record against the Blackhawks in their last 11 games. The last time the Blackhawks had won against Vancouver prior to tonight, November 21st, 2021, which was 5 years ago, it was a 1-0 Blackhawks victory. Brandon Hagel scored the lone goal in the game for Chicago. Dylan Strome and Eric Gustafson picked up the assist. Marc-Andre Fleury was the goaltender for the Blackhawks. He pitched a 40-save shutout for the Hawks. So Chicago, they were 0-10-1 in those previous 11 games. The Hawks were being outscored 43-18 in the games, in the 11 games during the stretch where the Hawks didn't pick up a victory against Vancouver. So a much-needed victory for the Blackhawks. And then last thing, Connor Bedard, he extended his point streak to 6 games. He came into tonight's game in his hometown of Vancouver on a 101-point pace for the season. I imagine that either stayed the same or went up just a little bit after another 2-point performance tonight against his hometown Canucks with some family and friends in attendance. So nice to see him perform well for Chicago. We got one more break to get to, and then we will wrap up the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show after this on 720 WGN.
And a puck behind the net. Binnington looking to play it, and he gave it away to Ovechkin. The puck centered up here for Chychrun, a drive, and a puck that is in, a score! And it's 900 goals for Alexander Ovechkin! The 900 Club has its first member! The odometer turns over, and the bench empties, and Alex Ovechkin has done it! National Hockey League history to 900 goals.
Congratulations to Alex Ovechkin becoming the first player in NHL history to hit the 900 goal mark. That call was John Walton of the Washington Capitals radio. And by the way, you got to go see the video. St. Louis Blues goaltender Jordan Binnington tried to hide the puck inside his equipment so that the Washington Capitals could not go and collect the puck. The officials figured out what was happening and ended up going up to Binnington. I couldn't tell if Binnington was joking or if he was actually serious. You never know with a guy like Binnington. And so, congrats to the great eight. It's time now for a Blackhawks prospects update. Let's check in on our next generation of players, sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. Nick Lardis, how many times have we heard that name in the last year and a half here on this Blackhawks postgame show, was named the AHL Rookie of the Month for October after having 12 points, 4 goals, 8 assists in 8 games, plus 11 rating. He's 1 point off the overall AHL scoring lead. So, man, congratulations to Lardis. Feels like only a matter of time when we're going to start to wonder when Lardis could be called up to the Blackhawks in addition to Oliver Moore after Oliver Moore made his season debut a couple nights ago in Seattle. But boy, Lardis is off to a really good start in his professional career. Time now for the next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are going to be back in action on Friday, aka tomorrow already, at 8 o'clock game. Thank God. We're an hour earlier than these 9 o'clock ones against the Calgary Flames at Scotiabank Saddle Dome. The Calgary Flames, they are dead last in the entire NHL, in points. They did pick up a win tonight. I believe it was, yeah, it was against the Blue Jackets, a big 5-1 victory, but they have the worst 5-on-5 save percentage or 5-on-5 shooting percentage at 7.65. And so if you're Chicago, take advantage of an even strength game on a Friday night and don't give them any power plays because they are a team that really struggles to generate offense at even strength. That's going to do it for the broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our production crew of Jack Heinrich and Tony DeNardis. They were led by our engineer, the captain, Krista Flores. For John Weideman and Colin Frazier, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 5-2 Blackhawks win over Vancouver. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Friday night from Calgary.